Fantastic. Awesome. Shake the person next to you and say, are you awake? Stop sleeping. Thanks, band. Give the band a round of applause. Awesome. Danke schön. And thank you, Daniel and Blaine, back of house. Give them a round of applause as well. Sound man and media man. Danke. And thanks to the small groups that came to help set up Cornell's small group and Warwick's small group. Give yourselves a round of applause. Danke. Okay. So we are continuing with this month's theme. It is generosity. Okay. So it's not generous. It's generosity. Okay. City. Say generosity. Okay. Great. It's an intentional spelling mistake, okay? Don't want any more comments. So I'm gonna be talking about the five steps to generosity. Because if I were to say to you, do you want to be a generous person? And I'm not talking necessarily about finances. It does include finances, but maybe like 10% of it, okay? If I was gonna have coffee with you, I'm gonna say, hey, John. Would you want to be a more generous person? Most of you, I'd say 9 out of 10 of you would go, yeah, sure, I want to be a more generous person, right? I want to give more of my time, I want to give more of my money, I want to give more of myself, I'd like to have more that I can give. Yes? Are we in agreement? Okay, generosity is not something that we go, I'll have more joy, but generosity, we like the concept of generosity. And so I want to talk about five steps you can take to being more generous, okay? And these are the five steps. These also just happen to be five steps or five, should I say, landmarks or checkpoints of your Christian walk, which starts with salvation. You will find yourself at one of these five steps at any given moment of your life as you mature in faith. Okay, and the five steps, I'm going to give you these five steps up front. You can go to the next. So it starts with receive. Okay, then it's tithe. Then it's steward. Then it's account. And then it's judge. Okay, and you as a Christian will go through all five of these steps in one form or another, whether you do it badly or whether you do it well. You will go through these steps, okay? So the whole idea is that generosity is an outflow of an understanding that starts with receiving the kingdom of God when you get saved. Okay, so let's start with number one, receive. And there's a lot to be said. You can do a whole sermon series. This is a good theme just for 1 month, and I'm going to pack it into 5 minutes. Okay, receiving is big. Receiving, it forms around your identity. You receive an identity when you get saved. So the idea is that before you met Jesus, you were a sinner. Your destiny was hell. The law held you in judgment. Okay, and you had no escape. And then by the blood of Jesus, you were thrown a lifeline. Okay, and you can either receive that lifeline or you choose to reject it and your blood is on your own head. Okay? That's the idea. And so when we start with receiving, it's starting from an understanding of everything that I have that I think of as being good comes from God. Okay? And you have done nothing to merit or to earn it. Okay? So you want to talk about white privilege? I want to tell you, you are all privileged. Okay, because what you deserve is death and judgment. And what you receive is unmerited favor through the blood of Jesus Christ. Okay, he took your sins on himself. And so Christ comes to you and he offers you salvation. And you receive it or you reject it. So if you receive it, then you receive this. It comes, it's like this whole package deal. Okay. You know, like you start work and you get medical aid and you get a pension fund. And so these are all the benefits, okay? You receive Christ and you receive a new identity. You receive authority. You receive a purpose, right? That's reiterated in the story of the prodigal son. The prodigal son comes home. The father gives him a robe. He gives him a ring. He gives him sandals, okay? A robe, that's a symbol for identity. A ring, a symbol for authority. Sandals, a symbol for purpose and a destiny, okay? So when you come into salvation, you receive all three of those things. Very cool? Yes? Okay? Wow. And you didn't earn it, okay? You took a whole lot of money, you left the house, you blew it all, then you came back, and you get these cool things. Wow! How did it work out like this? The amount of times Monica and I leave home with our two kids, and we're like, God, how did it end up like this? This is amazing, okay? This is really cool. How did it end up like this? What did I do to deserve it? I'm a pain in the butt to my boss. How did I deserve this? But it's unmerited favor. I didn't deserve it. Okay? And either I can reject it, that's fine, or I can receive it. Okay? So every Christian's journey, your journey, starts with receiving. There's this cool scripture. James 1 verse 70 says, every good gift and every perfect gift, say good gift and every perfect gift. Okay, so every, not some, not most of them, every gift, every good gift, every perfect gift is from above. Okay, everything, every good gift, everything perfect. Okay, JJ, your girlfriend's perfect. Amen, right? She's from God, okay? Fantastic. You got it. Coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Okay, why would Peter throw that in there? Okay, what he's saying is that God doesn't change his mind. Okay, he's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. So when God gave you this gift, his intention was the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And he gives intentionally and with a purpose. So when you have received something, you can bet that it's not a coincidence, that God had a plan for it, that God had a plan that you should have it, and that that plan is met with an ability to see the plan through, that God believes in your ability to see it through, okay? He is unwavering, okay? God, why did you do this to me? Why don't I have more? God, why do I have too much? I've got too much to be responsible at. I don't know about you, but I sometimes like wake up and I got two kids and I'm like, I've got to be a responsible adult. Ah! Responsibility. But you know what the cool part is that God is unchanging. Okay? And if I were to go to him and say, God, you know, like, there must have been a mistake. Like, sure, there are other adults who are better at adulting than me. Shouldn't they have two kids to take care of? And you know what? God does not change. And so me going to him isn't going to change anything because he intended that I have those two kids and that I would be a blessing to those two kids. Amen? I'm going to be a great father to those two kids. Amen? Awesome. So you didn't earn anything. Everything that you got, you didn't earn. And God is intentional with what you've got. Be it 5 loaves and 2 fishes, be it $1 billion, God is intentional with what you have. Okay? Awesome. Let's move on to the next one. Tithing. So what is the appropriate response to getting something that you did not earn? Okay, this is a trick question because the answer is not on the board. What is the appropriate response to getting something that you did not earn? Okay? Louis Jean makes me a cup of coffee, something for which I'm not going to pay him back. What is the correct response? Danke! Danke, Louis Jean! You are so lekker coffee! Don't do that in front of him, though. Make your own coffee on the side, okay? What is the appropriate response for unmerited favor? Thankfulness, okay? And I believe that thankfulness manifests itself partly through tithing. And I don't want to get into a big debate about tithing, but I just want to make 2 points, okay? So Malachi 2, let me just get it right, I think, or maybe it's Malachi 3. Malachi 3, sorry. God challenges people, okay? God challenges the Israelites, and he says, you have brought a curse upon yourself because you have neglected tithing and contributions, okay? You have brought a curse upon yourself. And then he goes on to say, but test me in this, okay? Bring in to the storehouse that which is owed, and you will see how the floodgates open. And today, in today's church, there's a big debate about whether or not this is applicable to the New Testament church. And like I said, I don't want to make too much of a debate about this, but there are 2 points that I want to make. Okay, if it is limited to the Old Testament, if the curse is limited to the Old Testament, then the blessing is also limited to the Old Testament. Okay? So it's fine to say that I don't have a curse upon me because I don't tithe, but then don't claim the blessing either. Okay? Don't claim a blessing on your finances. Okay? The second point is this. 2 Peter 2 verse 19, Peter's warning about false prophets, and he makes a very interesting statement. He says, for whatever overcomes a person, to that he is enslaved. And here's the problem with getting stuff that you did not earn. It's nice, and it's shiny, and it looks pretty. Okay? And that sometimes becomes our God. And the Bible talks about mammon. And it's that the God, the spirit of stuff, basically. We want stuff. And I believe that God put in a safety mechanism for us all. Because the reality is, God doesn't need your tithe. Have you ever thought about that? If God doesn't need my tithe, why does he need me to tithe? You know? But I don't think God does things for his benefit. I think a lot of what he does is for our benefit. I think tithing is for us, not necessarily for God. And I believe that for this person, for this reason, God initiated the tithe, so that our money and what we had received would not own us, but we would own that which God has given us. Okay? And it's also about being thankful. God, I'm so thankful for what I have received. If I can just give a little bit back, okay? Just a little bit back to show how my gratefulness. Okay? So if we understand that we've received something big for that which we did not earn, the correct response is thankfulness. Thankfulness, I believe, manifests itself in many different forms. One of it is tithing, okay? And it reveals the condition of our heart, okay? Did you know that some of God's blessings come with conditions? Blessings on your finances especially, okay? If that's offensive, take it up with Malachi the prophet. It's his business, okay? I want to move on. So it starts with receiving. Then we move on to tithing. And as a Christian, you receive something, okay? And then you tithe. And that tithing, like I said, manifests itself in a different way. You know how it also manifests in time? Serving. Serving is also a form of giving back to God. We come and we set up church, or maybe we serve our community, maybe we serve our boss, maybe we serve our parents. But serving is also a manifestation of understanding that I've received much. Understand? And the third step is stewarding. So understand that I've received something, okay, something that I did not earn. I show my gratitude for that, whatever place I am at. And then the third one is that we are a steward. And I'm not going to read the parable, but note it down. Matthew 25, verse 14 to 30, the parable of the talents. I'm just going to recap. You can read this in your quiet time during the week. But the parable of the talents, we all know this one. It's about a man that goes away. He puts three people in charge of all his stuff. Okay? To the one he gives 5 talents. To the one he gives 2 talents. To the one he gives 1 talent. 1 talent is worth a year's wages back then. So somebody hands you 5 years worth of salary. Okay? That's a lot of money for anybody. Right? And he goes away and comes back. He says, okay, let's give account. And the guy with 5 talents comes. He says, yeah, you gave me 5. I made you 5 more. Master says, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will make you ruler over much. Guy with 2 talents does the same. Says, hey, you gave me 2 talents. Here's 2 more. Master says, oh, but you didn't make 5 talents. No, no, that's not what he says. He says, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a little. I'll make you ruler over much. And the guy with 1 talent, he brings it back, all neatly wrapped, just like he received it, gives it back. And the master goes, nooit bra. Get out. That's how the story ends, okay? The guy who did not produce. This is so ironic for me. You read the story of the prodigal son, and the guy got something, went out and blew it all, came back, and then he gets received by a party. And then in the next parable, Jesus is telling, guy goes out, gives back to Jesus what he had received, okay, all neatly wrapped, and he's the one that gets in trouble. That's weird, okay? And here's the bottom line, okay? Number one, as a steward, you understand that by definition, you are a caretaker of someone else's property, okay? So everything that you have does not belong to you, okay? Leon, when you look at your wife, Audrey, she is not yours. You will have to give account to God for the way that you've treated her, okay? Okay, you understand? When you take your money and you think, well, I've earned this, I've worked really hard, this is my manure, you are going to have to give account for the way that you've handled that money. That does not belong to you. You with me? Okay? And here's the other thing. The only way that that makes sense, that parable seems fair, this guy gets something and he returns it in the same state. I always use this example that it's like I ask somebody to come house sit my house while I go on holiday, and then when I come back, I'm upset that he didn't build a flat in my backyard. You know, that's on that level, you know. It's like, it's not like you burnt down my house or anything. It's just that you didn't build me a flat, and I had an expectation that when I went on holiday, you'd build me a flat in my backyard. But the only way that this makes sense is that God believes in our ability to produce and to multiply. Okay, so that when he gives good and perfect gifts to the right people at the right time, he has an expectation that he does not mess up and therefore can expect you to do something with it. Are you with me? See, the guy got in trouble not because he didn't take care of what he had gotten, it's because the master believed that he was capable of producing something with it. And he didn't. Wasted potential. For all have sinned, that's the one charge, and then for all have fallen short of the glory of God. It's not that he sinned, it's that he didn't measure up to the glory that his master had expected from him. You with me? Okay? It's number 3. So he's starting off with receiving, that you receive something good, you receive something perfect. Okay? God doesn't make mistakes, and he doesn't change his mind. Right? And that the correct response to that is gratitude. Not, I don't have what that guy has. I have too many responsibilities. Okay? That's not the correct response. The correct response is, on your knees, thank you, Jesus. Okay? Third step is stewardship. When I understand that I've been given much and I'm thankful for it, I want to take care of what it is. and I want to use it and multiply it. God's given me an amazing gift to sing, play the guitar, to preach, and I need to make sure that I steward that gift in such a way that it multiplies and gets better. You understand what I'm saying? That it blesses more people. I have a responsibility, and this is a call out to potential musicians as well, okay? If you're really good at singing in the shower, if your mom thinks you can sing really well, you have a responsibility to steward that gift in such a way that you're on stage in a year from now, okay? Because that gift does not belong to you, seriously. It is not yours, okay? And you need to stop hiding that in the ground. You need to produce something with it. You with me? And that's not just a musical ability. That's maybe a calling to take care of other people, a work entrepreneur. It's we got to stop thinking of ideas and start producing something with those ideas. Okay? God has been convicting me about the concept of wisdom. And wisdom is great, but it's got to look like something. Heidi Baker says, love must look like something. It's an amazing quote. And I think wisdom's the same. Wisdom must look like something tangible. It must produce something. Otherwise, it's just a really great saying that I can stick on my wall. You know? Love, eat, pray. Looks pretty, you know. We gotta stop that nonsense. we gotta start putting things on our wall that manifest itself physically. When I walk into a home and I see a scripture that says, in this house we will praise the Lord, I want to be able to see that tangibly with the kids, with the way that the husband treats his wife. Amen? Great. Then we go into the next one. Account. So we're starting off with receiving, show gratitude, we start a steward. And then the mature Christian, when he starts to walk in this ability to steward and this gift to steward, this responsibility to steward, what a mature Christian does is stop every now and then and take stock of where I'm at. Okay? And to give account. So to make an account of where I'm at. What am I doing right and what am I doing wrong? Okay? Where do I need to change things around? What am I doing right that I can celebrate, that I can build upon? What am I doing wrong that I need to do away with, turn away from? You with me? And this is the marking of a real mature Christian. Somebody who doesn't need a pastor's rebuke or the Lord to come and smite them or anything like that. But they can do this to themselves. They can go, I can look in the mirror, and I can make an assessment of how I look and what needs to be done with it. So I want to read the scripture. You can now, guys, open to James 1, verse 22 to 25. Open up your Bibles. If you don't have a Bible, feel rebuked. I feel rebuked. Okay, so the account part is the mature Christian, they stop receiving, or should I, let me rephrase that, you never stop receiving, but there's a point at which, as a Christian, maybe when you get saved, that you receive like a baby. You know, babies are fairly useless, they just cry and poop and keep you up at night, they don't mow the lawn or anything. They don't contribute nothing. I've been trying to teach Oliver to push the lawnmower, but his attention span lasts about a minute. So, you know, by economic standards, Oliver's pretty useless. You know, he's not gonna make anything. But that's okay because he's a 2-year-old, right? And it's cute to try and see him use the lawnmower. Wow, he's so bad at it, but it's cute, and we're gonna laugh. Okay? But you know what's sad? It's when you've got a 25-year-old and they don't know how to use a lawnmower. Right? Or maybe we should say 15. Okay? then it's not cute anymore. Then it's like, who messed up, your parents or you? Right? And somewhere along the lines, somebody had to stop being a hearer. This is how a lawnmower works, to a doer. This look, I'm using the lawnmower. See how I trim the edges. Okay? And this is the markings of a mature Christian. Okay? So let's read this together. James 1, verse 22. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in the mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. Okay? Here's the cool part. It's not whether you mess up or do well, okay? It's whether you mess up and you have the ability to assess what you've done, match it up with the Word of God, and make necessary adjustments. You understand what I'm saying? That is the person that will be blessed in what he does. So it starts with receiving. Correct response is thankfulness. Then it's the taking on that responsibility of being a steward. Okay? And once we've done this job and we're doing this job, every now and then we've got to stop and give account for what we're doing. Okay? And here's the crucial part, okay? Here's the crucial part. Taking responsibility is directly tied to authority. Okay? So if you as a man believe that you have authority in your house, then you have full responsibility in your house. Okay? So I don't want to hear that all your marital problems are your wife's fault, or that you wish you had better kids, or that you wish you had a better community. Okay? If you want authority in your house, you have to take full responsibility. If you want authority anywhere, you've got to take responsibility. If you want authority in your workplace or your school, you have to take up responsibility. And it's not about fault. It's not about whose fault it is. It's about who takes responsibility. So it's understand that Christ had full authority and therefore took full responsibility for what you and I did. It was not his fault. It was our fault. But he took full responsibility. Okay? And if we're going to mimic that, that is what we do. We say, because I want authority, I take full responsibility. Okay, the guy who sticks up his hand and says, it's my fault, I'll make up for it, that's the guy in charge. And it's as plain and simple as that. Okay? If you want to give account for what you're doing, you take responsibility. Because here's the thing, if you don't take responsibility for your own actions, or maybe the actions of your family, okay, come judgment day, God will take account. And believe me, you would rather you took account than God takes account of what you did. Okay? Because I'm sure you would be a lot more lenient on yourself. Yeah? No, I deserve mercy, God. It wasn't all that bad, okay? Fantastic. Let's move on. Ooh. Last one. Okay? I think this is where generosity starts. Generosity starts with judgment. Because to judge is to assess the first four steps. Did I receive something worthwhile, perfect and good? Am I thankful for it? Do I steward it well? Do I give account for that which I have and for what I've done? The natural outflow to those four questions determines whether or not you live a generous lifestyle or not. Generosity is a manifestation of God's judgment upon your life, or the lack of generosity. Okay? Because here's the thing: people that clench their fist that can't give. What they say is, God made a mistake, what he gave me. He should have given me more. I did not receive what that guy received. Okay, and because I didn't receive what that guy received, I don't have to be thankful for it. In fact, there is nothing to be thankful for. And because I'm really the victim here, okay, I shouldn't have to take responsibility. I shouldn't be put in charge. Okay, it's not my fault. Okay, and you know what? I'm perfect and I don't need a change. So why do I need to give you anything? Does that sound familiar? Yeah? People who live generous lives understand that because they have been given much, they have a responsibility to give more. And I want to end off with this parable. I want you to open up to Matthew 18. Matthew 18. And I think when I was going through this parable, this is where I saw these five steps, that you go through all of these five things just in this one parable. And this is, let me just read it. Bible speaks well for itself. Okay. Matthew 18, verse 21. You guys with me? Then Peter came up to him and said, Lord, how often will my brother sin against me? How often will my wife sin against me? How often will my parents sin against me? How often will... Okay, you can fill in what you want over there. Okay. How often will my brother sin against me? I forgive him as many as seven times. Jesus said to him, I do not say to you seven times, but 77 times. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his servants. When he began to settle, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. So remember when I said one talent is equal to 1 year's worth of wages. Okay, so if this guy was going to pay him back all that he owed, it would take him 10,000 years to pay back. Okay, so he owes a lot. You with me? And since he could not pay, his master ordered him to be sold with his wife and children and all that he had and payment to be made. So the servant fell on his knees, imploring him, have patience with me, and I will pay you everything. And out of pity for him, the master of that servant released him and forgave him the debt. Okay, that's where we're at. If you believe in Jesus, that's where you're at. You had tremendous debt that you had to pay. Okay? You were born into sin, and God's judgment was upon you. And you accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior. And what you have to give cannot cover the debt. But out of pity, out of mercy, God cleared your debt by the blood of his Son, Jesus. Amen? Sorry. I didn't sneeze. But when the same servant, I'm at verse 28. But when the same servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. And seizing him, he began to choke him, saying, pay what you owe. So his fellow servant fell down and pleaded with him, have patience with me and I will pay you. He refused and went and put him in prison until he should pay the debt. When his fellow servants saw what he had taken place, they were greatly distressed. And they went and reported to their master all that had taken place. Then his master summoned him and said to him, you wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. And should not you have had mercy on your fellow servant as I have had mercy on you? And in anger, his master delivered him to the jailers until he should pay all his debt. So also my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart. So this person who had been forgiven of much, okay, who had essentially been given 10,000 years worth of wages, saw fit to go and charge his friend for a couple of days' wages. Okay? Would it not have been generous if he had forgiven his friend? Okay? That is the manifestation of generosity. Understanding that, wow, I have been given of much. That's where you're at. You have been forgiven of much. Okay? And the responsibility is on you to be generous, not necessarily for your friend's sake, but sometimes for your sake. Are you with me? So being generous is an outflow of understanding those first four things. Because God first loved me, I can now love. You with me? Because I've received much, I have much to give. Okay, let's stand together. Band, you can come up front.